W277DT Hartford, WSNG Torrington, WBOM Meriden, the talk of Connecticut.
The accused Portland shooter is dead.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. The man who told Vice he acted in self-defense, killing a Trump supporter in a clash over protesters last weekend, killed last night 120 miles away. Fox's Tanya J. Powers has all the details live.
Dave, Michael Forrest Reinel was the prime suspect in the shooting death of Aaron J. Danielson, a member of a conservative protest group who was killed last week when a caravan of President Trump's supporters rode through downtown Portland. Lieutenant Ray Brady with the Thurston County, Washington Sheriff's Office says Reinel was killed as a federal task force tried to apprehend him in Lacey, Washington.
There was an outstanding warrant issued for him for homicide.
Reinel had described himself in a social media post as, quote, 100% Antifa, Dave.
Tanya, a police officer in Cleveland, Ohio, shot late last night while in his car. It then crashed into a playground. Seven officers suspended in Rochester, New York over the death of a black man in March, held to the ground, a hood over his head. President Trump is denying a report as fake news that he insulted dead American soldiers during a 2018 trip to France commemorating the end of World War I.
I never said that about our fallen heroes. There is nobody that respects them more.
The Atlantic says, in a conversation with senior staff members on the morning of the scheduled trip, Trump said, quote, why should I go to that cemetery? It's filled with losers. And in a separate conversation on the same trip, Trump referred to the more than 1,800 Marines who lost their lives at Bellawood as suckers for getting killed.
Fox's Griff Jenkins, the president's denial came after a campaign trip to Pennsylvania.
We're going up and he's dropping like a rock in water.
Referring to Joe Biden, who went to Kenosha, Wisconsin.
I can't guarantee you everything is solved in 4 years, but I guarantee you one thing. It'll be a whole heck of a lot better.
The Democratic nominee met with community leaders following the protests over Jacob Blake's police shooting. He met with his family and talked to Blake by phone. America's listening to Fox News.
This is the Frost family. They live on a piece of land they call greener pasture, and they work on it behind the wheel of a John Deere 1 Series tractor. With its durable construction and features that hook up to dozens of attachments with ease, no job is too tough. The Frost family runs with us, because this is more than just land. It's home. Nothing runs like a Deere. Get a 1 Series tractor for just $99 per month at your John Deere dealer today. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
When you're stressed, you just don't feel like yourself. New Natrol Relaxia, a full line of drug-free supplements to help you manage occasional stress and anxiety. A special blend of herbals keeps you feeling calm and balanced throughout the day. Because when there's less stress, there's more you. Try New Natrol Relaxia. Learn more at RelaxiaMood.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The election is still 60 days away, but the voting process is beginning.
North Carolina will begin sending out absentee ballots to voters who have requested them today, the first state to do so in the 2020 election. Voters have until October 27th to request an absentee ballot in North Carolina, and in-person early voting begins in the state on October 15th. Several states are expanding absentee and early voting options in part because of coronavirus concerns. Minnesota, Wyoming and South Dakota are the first states to allow voters to cast ballots in person. That starts September 18th. The first presidential debate is September 29th. Jared Halpern, Fox News.
You may remember the story last month of a Michigan woman believed to be dead, discovered alive at a funeral home. Well, we're learning more now.
The family of 20-year-old Tamisha Beauchamp called 911 after finding her unconscious last month. Southfield firefighter and paramedic Michael Storms led a four-member team that responded. State investigators say Storms stopped resuscitation efforts for 6 minutes before getting permission from a doctor contacted by phone to declare her dead. Documents reveal Storms went back into the home twice when family members said Beauchamp appeared to be breathing and had a pulse. The state says both times Storms failed to recognize the patient was still alive, indicating the chest movement was normal due to her medication. Beauchamp has cerebral palsy. A funeral home discovered Beauchamp was alive when she gasped while her body was being prepared. It was only then she was sent to the hospital. She remains in critical condition. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
Later this hour, we'll get the August jobs report, expected to show 1.3 or 4 million people hired, and the unemployment rate may have dropped below 10%. Now, this comes the day after the biggest sell-off on Wall Street since June. The Dow dropped 807 points. The Nasdaq plunged nearly 5% from its record high. For now, futures are mixed. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
Looking for eye care or eyewear? The experts at the Eyeglass Place have served families for almost 50 years with complete eye exams, eyeglasses, contact lenses, and if you love shooting sports, Karen specializes in consultation and individual design of protective eyewear to do it safely. Her expertise offers the perfect solution for each patient's needs. Most insurance is accepted and special discounts for military and first responders. Visit the Eyeglass Place today at 2311 Berlin Turnpike in Newington or call 860-667-0.
Here's your On This Date update for September 4th.
This is the Edsel, unlike any other car you've ever seen.
The Ford Motor Company introduced its brand new Edsel today in 1957. It was a flop of historic proportions. On this date in 1998, a major success as the search engine Google was incorporated. It became the most used search engine in the world. And today in 2002, the first season of American Idol ended with the announcement of the winner.
Kelly Clarkson.
Born on this date, actors Mitzi Gaynor and Dick York, and one of radio's most famous voices.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey, in part brought to you by the First Federal Savings.
I'm Mitch Davis, and that's your On This Date update.
Every weekday at 5, it's the Ben Shapiro Show on the Talk of Connecticut, WDRC.
All focus in the United States is on Texas, Florida, Arizona. Okay, it is not like there is some focus on New York. Cases continue to crop up in New York. There's still 500 to 1,000 daily cases in New York that are happening every single day. And if you look at these states where there's still mass levels of death, New York still ranks like number 6 on this chart.
The Ben Shapiro Show, weekday afternoons from 5 to 6 on the Talk of Connecticut, WDRC.
What would happen if you lost everything? Your home, your car, all your possessions. How would your life change? People don't often think about it, but it's one of the most important questions you need to ask yourself. Michael Van Otterkirk at State Farm of Newington will help you. He says with insurance, one size does not fit all, because your needs are not someone else's. Customization is key, and you have options. Call 860-666-1037, 860-666-1037, or visit 63 East Cedar Street, Newington. Like a good neighbor, State Farm of Newington is there.
Now, breaking news from the Talk of Connecticut, WDRC AM 1360, and now 103.3 FM.
Good morning. I'm Teresa Berry. Mostly sunny, warm, less humid. The high near 80.
And I'm Jim O'Reilly. Here's what's happening.
In Hartford, nearly 100 protesters rally at the state capitol to condemn Governor Lamont's executive order extension. They say it's no longer about COVID-19. Instead, they say it's about government control. Many on hand said their freedoms are being taken away right now. Officials say 95% of Connecticut's economy is back up and running. The protesters want Democratic lawmakers to challenge the governor's decision to extend his emergency powers through February 2021. They say the restrictions are costing them their livelihoods.
A Colchester woman with a gambling problem is sentenced to 6 months in prison and 2 years of supervised release for embezzling from her Mystic employer. Prosecutors told the court between July 2017 and July 2018, Vicki Miller took $413,000 from the Greylock Property Group by making withdrawals at ATMs, transferring money to her accounts, and writing checks to herself. That's according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. She was employed as a bookkeeper for Greylock. Miller's supporters told the bench she can't stop gambling, and it has ruined her life.
A new bill drafted by Connecticut legislators could require Eversource to provide compensation for food or medication that's spoiled due to that power outage. The bill would allow residents who are without power for more than 72 hours during Tropical Storm Isaias to receive reimbursement up to $500 for food and $500 for medication. Around 800,000 customers were without power during and after the powerful storm.
I'm Chris Joseph. On Thursday, Governor Ned Lamont announced a new initiative where he says that rapid response testing will soon be available for schools where someone tests positive for COVID-19. The state says they will be partnering with hospitals and mobile units to provide the response, and school districts will be working with their local health departments if they have a positive case. Testing will be deployed depending on the severity of the case. Governor Lamont says this will ensure testing availability in cases there are COVID-19 clusters in schools or daycares. I'm Chris Joseph reporting.
A task force looking to improve policing in Connecticut in response to law enforcement shootings of Black and Hispanic people in the country is looking to get feedback from residents in the state. The panel was created last year as part of the police reform bill. The State Police Transparency and Accountability Task Force will be holding twice a day, two-hour sessions every Thursday next month.
Brought to you by Vector Tax, Connecticut's tax resolution experts.
In Waterbury, an accident, Route 8 southbound approaching I-84. The right lane is blocked. Stop and go traffic from exit 35. In Southington, another accident, I-84 eastbound approaching exit 31. The right lane is blocked. Stop and go traffic from exit 30. Through downtown Hartford, you're looking good. I-91, I-84, Route 2, and Route 9. I'm Eddie Schaefer, Time Saver Traffic.
Sunny and beautiful out today. The high around 85 degrees for the high. The ServPro of West Hartford temperature, it's 71 right now in Suffield.
The Talk of Connecticut Morning Show with Gary Byron, AM 1360, 610, 1470, and FM 103.3. The Talk of Connecticut.
Minutes after 8 o'clock. Welcome back. Difficult times remain for Bradley International Airport and everyone that depends on it for their livelihoods. There was a document that was obtained by NBC Connecticut Investigates that indicates passenger travel numbers remain woeful at Bradley due mainly to the coronavirus. Many, though, people just choose to stay home. I think people are afraid. They just don't want to go anywhere. Or if they go anywhere, it's a shorter distance and they travel by car. The Connecticut Airport Authority reports passenger traffic in late August, it was down between 71 and 81% just compared to 1 year ago. The CAA said Connecticut's policy requiring incoming travelers from affected states to quarantine 14 days is having an impact on passenger activity level at the airport. And of course, this translates into substantially reduced revenues. Look, you can always count on NBC Connecticut Investigates. And this leads into our next guest, who always joins us on the first Friday of every month. He's always a treat, and I know he's a listener favorite. We welcome back to the show from NBC Connecticut, Chief Investigative Reporter Len Bestoff. Len, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. I know my title's a mouthful. You know, they don't want me to say it on TV anymore. Just kidding.
Come on. Are you kidding? You keep NBC Connecticut on the map, my friend.
Oh, bless you. Thanks so much. We really enjoy what we do, and, you know, we try to just get more answers for folks and explain things like some of this stuff.
I got to tell you, Len, before we delve into this, and I want to talk a little bit about Eversource if we have some time towards the end of our segment. I believe you're one of the only of the four Connecticut stations, right, that really has this in-depth of an investigative reporting division of their newsroom.
It's true. We have a pretty substantial team. We have an executive producer, a producer, myself, Dan Corcoran's another reporter in the unit, Christine Stewart, who you may have heard of from CT News Junkies.
Oh, yeah.
Some stories for us as well.
She's I didn't even know she was with
Shannon Miller.
Wow.
One of our anchors has done a lot of investigative work, and Caitlin Burchell, one of our other reporters. We have a bunch of folks doing a lot of things here, and we're working on lots of stuff. We got lots more coming. I can't tell you all about it.
Well, you're going to give us a teaser at the end of the segment. I'm not letting you get away with not doing that.
Absolutely.
All right.
So you hold the line on me. That's fine.
Hey, we got to get something out of this too. I mean, we get a lot out of your reporting, but you know.
No, totally get it.
The perks, right? We got to have some perks. Talk about the airport here, because they're dying, and we can't let that happen. Yeah. So, you know, is it really all the restrictions, or is it all government imposed, or is it individual fear?
You know, we talked with a few travelers at the airport, and certainly those are the ones that aren't scared. And it was interesting. You know, I met younger folks. I met, believe it or not, senior citizens who said, no, I don't have any issue with it.
Yeah.
You know, I take the precautions. I feel safe. And you know what? I mean, the truth is, you know, I was at the airport. I mean, sadly, yes, it's a ghost town. But if you aren't afraid to fly, it's actually a pretty good time because there's not that many. I mean, there's no line. You go right through TSA. There's no line to check in. You know, if you're comfortable, I mean, they do have distancing, too, and everybody's wearing masks. You know, what I've talked with a lot of travelers about outside of Bradley and people who are thinking about traveling is it's not even so much being in the plane. You know, I have a friend from high school who is a pilot in Arizona, and he talks about how the filtration on the planes is very good.
Mm.
It's cycled, I think he said, every 4 seconds. But, you know, what about when you're waiting in line to get on the plane? What about when you're standing in line in the little tunnel before you get on the plane and you're in close proximity with everybody? What about when you're waiting for the plane?
Mm-hmm.
What surfaces are you touching in the airport? I think these are the things that are going through a lot of people's minds when they're still concerned about this. And frankly, I've got some new data I got overnight on Bradley's volumes, and it's no better, if I may give that to you.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
August 31st, down 68.5% compared to a year ago. September 1st, down 80.2%. This is passenger volume compared to a year ago. September 2nd, 79.3% passenger volume drop compared to a year ago. Those are staggering. I mean, that's catastrophic by any measure, by any business.
All right, so who is traveling? Are these business travelers? Are they the only ones that are utilizing our airport? Or how do you break that down?
Frankly, you know, most of the folks we saw were leisure. A lot of businesses, you know, I've talked with a lot of people. I mean, and that's anecdotal, but I mean, you know, I talk with a lot of people in business, too, and they've said, yeah, you know, we've learned that we can do a lot of stuff remote. I talked to one guy in the insurance industry who told me how, you know, they used to go down to New Jersey for their meetings, you know, once a month or so. But when you do it on a Zoom or a WebEx or whatever, you can get a lot of that stuff done. You can't always.
Mm.
You know, I know somebody else in M&A, mergers and acquisitions, who sometimes you have to have that face-to-face contact. There's just no way to not do it. But certainly businesses have adapted, and a lot of folks are asking that thankfully this will end at some point. And how are things going to be different? Are we going to travel as much? And there are those concerns. You know, when you talk with Kevin Dillon, the executive director of the Connecticut Airport Authority, or CAA, you know, one of the things he talks about is how, well, you know, they've built up this robust set of routes over the last, you know, 10, 12 years since the Great Recession. And now if you lose a lot of these routes, even temporarily, you don't know when you're going to get them back and to what, you know, volume you're going to get them back,
yeah.
You know, as far as how many flights to some of these cities compared to what we had pre-pandemic. So,
I bet the rates are great right now, too.
Yeah.
I bet the rates are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that you're going to see some people slowly dipped their toes in the water. Like for that story we did Monday on the airport that you're referring to, we mm-hmm. talked to a senior citizen from, I believe it was Southbury, and she, because of the pandemic, hasn't seen her grandkids and even great-grandkids mm-hmm. in close to a year. They live in South Carolina.
Yeah, that's
the grandkids. And she wants to go. And she feels safe enough. It's a personal decision, certainly, but she was wearing a mask. She had her hand sanitizer. I interviewed another guy from New Haven who is down in South Carolina right now visiting his mother, who's a senior citizen. He was concerned about her. You know, so, I mean, everybody has personal choices to make, and you've just got to decide if you feel safe enough. But it goes back also to what you were talking about as far as if you live in Connecticut and you're going to travel somewhere, you got to think about, well, when I come back, I got to quarantine.
Exactly.
And this is where, you know, we talked with the airport authority, and they're like, they understand that, you know, people are very concerned that there's this pandemic and, you know, potentially deadly consequences.
We are speaking with Len Bestoff, chief investigative reporter at NBC Connecticut. You know, you mentioned something that really I have noticed this myself. I've spoken about it a few times on the airwaves, and it's so ironic. You're talking about senior citizens who aren't really that afraid of COVID-19 and here's what I have observed. Maybe you let me weigh in on this, Len. Let me know if you mm-hmm. agree. I completely agree with that observation. And whether I'm down at the beach or I'm out and about running errands or just, you know, living my life outside of the station here, I've noticed that there are senior citizens who wear their mask only because they have to in order to enter a store. It's the policy of the store. Other than that, they're really not that afraid. They're especially more as of the last few months, maybe not the first couple of months of this. Yet, on the other hand, and they fit into a more vulnerable demographic, you know, for this. However, contrary to that, you have millennials who will drive in their car with the window down, and they're the only ones in the car that will be wearing their mask. That they wear their mask anywhere, every time. They're afraid of anything and everything. And I don't mean to be picking on anybody. I'm just stating an observation. What's your assessment of that?
I just think it's a personal choice. And, you know, you're seeing some seniors that certainly are very concerned about this and have been shuttered. I've talked to a lot of people who say my mom or my dad haven't left the house or have barely left the house. I've interviewed some of these folks only via, you know, Zoom or WebEx or whichever video chat format mm-hmm. you want. But then you have folks like this lady I bumped into who, you know, she's trying to take the precaution. She is a healthy person, relatively for her age. And she said, you know, at some point, you know, you've got to trust people that, you know, all the right precautions are being taken. The problem is, you know, it's never you, right? You're a good guy, Gary. You're always going to do the right thing. But then there are other people who may not wear the masks and who may be asymptomatic carriers.
Yeah.
And so that's the concern and that's the risk. Talking with Kevin Dillon, I want to get back to that. You know, he said, you know, certainly there are concerns about traveling, but can you do this in a way where you manage the risk and don't destroy the airport in the sense that he totally appreciates, you know, that this is a pandemic and it's really serious and people could die potentially. But at the same time, you know, if you are so careful that you end up destroying the airport, what's going to be left if we all
That's a great, you know, and listen, everybody's immunity
and
is
that's essentially what he said. I'm probably not doing it as eloquently as he would say it because he is an eloquent guy, but
of course
you know what I mean.
And everybody's immunity is different. I one more question before we go over to talk about Eversource. What are the consequences then of the airport? I mean, could they go belly up? I would imagine not. It's an international airport. We'll get through this, and we're going to need them again. But how do they get through?
I'd love to go a little more granular here, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
On this. We may miss electricity, but this is important because you're playing right into other new information I got overnight.
So
this hasn't even been on NBC Connecticut yet.
Breaking news here, folks.
Get in trouble for that.
Breaking news. Go ahead, Matt.
So part of this other thing I got last night, in addition to the data I just shared with you, is that Avis at Bradley apparently is saying now that 12 employees there have been impacted now by extended furloughs or layoffs. New. This is new info. And these are the consequences. No, the airport's not going to go under. But, for example, the rental car companies are having a tough time. And getting into that more deeply, I don't know if you're aware, but there's a $210 million transportation center that they are in the midst of building at Bradley. If you haven't been there in a while because of all this, you wouldn't have seen it. But it is very impressive. But the problem is that the rental car companies have a guaranteed payment they need to make to the airport every year. And the sum total, I think the minimum payment is $7.5 million, which represents about 10% of Bradley's annual operating budget. And they want that number. They have asked the airport to have that number be somehow reduced. They've been deferring payments. They're going to have to pay back. But now they're saying to the airport, hey, we're not sure we can do this. But it puts the airport and the CAA, the Connecticut Airport Authority, in a very precarious position because these are their partners for this $210 million transportation center. So you can't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Essentially what Kevin Dillon said to us is we can push them for payment, but we also don't want to be part of the problem that's pushing some of these companies into bankruptcy, like Hertz is already in.
That's right. That's right. So what
about that?
So then how far will they bend? Because they are counting on, you know, those payments. As you said, it makes up, comprises 10%. However, if you push them, you're going to push them right out of business, and then you've got zero, and you've got no one to fill their space. So that could be worse than
CAA. Yeah, absolutely. And so CAA, I think they're trying to figure out how to delicately take care of this and take care of the rental companies, but keep the project. I mean, the project's going, the money's bonded, but you know, you've got to pay for this going forward. So, and the airlines or the airport needs to maintain its operating budget, even though certainly, yes, the volumes are lower. Yes, they got $28 million from the feds in part of the whole CARES Act. But what Kevin Dillon told me is that basically covers the airport for about 3 months of operating expenses. And certainly they've tried to economize and not just spend all that money right away. But it's tough times at the airport. United Airlines apparently is saying that all U.S. airlines are going to have to cut their payrolls by 30 to 50%. To survive the pandemic. Now, this is coming from the CEO of United Airlines, Oscar Munoz, who, just to mention it, his total compensation, according to various reports, is between $10 and $12 million per year. He is the outgoing CEO, as I understand it. But still, you know, got to bring that into the conversation, too.
Yeah, we're speaking with Len Bestoff, NBC Connecticut chief investigative reporter. You know, that's like hearing about Mr. Judge there, the CEO of Eversource, who went from $11 million a year a couple years ago to $19 million just recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
go ahead. And all these rate increases. But yeah, I want to, you know, we only have about 2.5 minutes left. If you just if you can just spend a couple of minutes talking briefly about Eversource and what you've uncovered there.
Absolutely. We did an investigation about 2 weeks ago where we really tried to break down that bill. And what you've heard about, you know, for all these increases we've seen in July, certainly, yes, it was tied to usage. We had more 90-degree days in Connecticut at Bradley this year than any year since records have been recorded. But Eversource has, and UI to a lesser degree, United Illuminating, the other utility in our state, have said, hey, you know, there is this deal that had to be cut to keep the Millstone plant down on the shoreline operating for another 10 years. So we're going to buy power from them, and it's going to be more expensive than perhaps we would have paid. And so that's part of the
renewables
bills going up on the delivery side. Remember, all of this is on your delivery side. Your usage side is literally a pass-through, or not a pass-through. Well, it is. But, I mean, essentially, what you use is what you pay. But on the delivery side, that's where you're getting charged. And they've said that because of the Millstone deal, that's part of it. And there's another federal charge. Or I can't remember what kind of charge it is, but it's the delivery charge. There's two delivery charges that went up recently that they're saying that's why your bill's higher. But we really drilled down on this. And what we found is that the highest charge on the delivery side of your bill went up 58% for Eversource in 2017. It went up another 6% last year and another 5% this year.
It's insane.
So that's where you're getting, you're seeing this huge increase in your bill, because I think now it's 6 cents per kilowatt hour. It's called the delivery charge per kilowatt hour. And it's 6 cents per kilowatt hour, which doesn't sound like a lot, but
yeah,
if you use 700, 800,
exactly,
1200 kilowatt hours per month, it's going to add up quickly.
And it's a 10-year, $1 billion contract. It's going to be going up every year. You know, we've got less than a minute left. You know what? How about looking into microgrids and all municipalities doing what the town of Wallingford has already done in keeping costs low by having their own grid and being responsible for to supply power to their own citizens?
Yeah, you know, the thing with that, and I've done a bunch of stories way in the past.
I got 20 seconds.
The municipal utilities, they're smaller scale. So you have to think about that. But this is not going away. This is a big story. We're going to stay on top of it. I promise.
Give us a quick 10-second nugget. What do you got? What are you working on?
Federal money for education. What's the deal? Hundreds of millions of dollars. We're going to break it down.
Thanks so much. We look forward to it. That's Len Bestoff, Chief Investigative Reporter for NBC Connecticut. Thanks for being with us, Len. We really, and make sure you check out his report on NBC Connecticut. Coming right back to your calls.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. A man suspected of killing a supporter of a right-wing group in Portland, Oregon protest last week is shot and killed himself during an attempted arrest by federal task force officers.
Authorities say Michael Reinell tried running when federal task force members moved in. Police in Lacey, Washington say Reinell ran out of an apartment and into a car when gunfire broke out between him and four officers. And we are now learning he did have a gun when he was killed. Vice News releasing an interview with Reinell, the 48-year-old appearing to admit to the deadly shooting of Aaron Danielson, who was attending a Trump rally last week in Portland, saying he acted in self-defense.
Fox's Todd Pyro. And we're just getting numbers for jobs in August showing the economy created 1.37 million jobs. The unemployment rate fell to 8.4%. America's listening to Fox News.
Gary Byron here. You've got to listen to the most unusual financial show Saturday mornings from 7 till 8. It's Money for Life, hosted by the Finance Fixers. Each week, they make you think very differently about money in ways you just don't hear anywhere else. It has certainly opened my own eyes thinking, why didn't anyone tell me about this before? So tune in on Saturday mornings from 7 till 8 and also listen for their free book giveaway. Or call 860-496-1941. 860-496-1941.
Psst. It's me, your bathroom medicine cabinet. I see you naked, know how often you floss, and watch you pluck unsightly hairs. I can keep a secret, but you need to know your kids have been taking your prescriptions to get high. I couldn't keep it quiet because prescription drug abuse now causes more deaths than cocaine and heroin ODs combined. So please, mind your meds. For tips on safeguarding your meds and your family, visit the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids at drugfree.org.
Hey, it's Lars Larson. China decided to keep a secret from its own people when it could have saved tens of thousands of them by simply warning them. But China decided if we have an epidemic coming at us, we're going to get ready. And if we're going to get ready, we can't tell the rest of the world because they'll want to buy the same stuff we're trying to buy. China has been a decided bad guy in all of this, and they deserve to be punished.
Weeknights, 9 to midnight on the Talk of Connecticut. WDRC, WSNG, and WBOM.
To celebrate State Farm's surprisingly great rates, we gave this song surprisingly great lyrics.
Here we go. It's so cheap. Yeah, I got a great rate on the down low. Cause Jacob and your average Joe. Hard to believe. Yeah, nobody does it like State Farm do. Never knew the rate was it low. Oh, they ain't that steep.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A girl from Illinois who saved a neighbor thanks to her superhero hearing makes today's Dean's List. 13-year-old Casey Brislane received the Girl Scouts Medal of Honor for saving Susie Schubert. The national award is given to Girl Scouts who save another person's life. Casey says she was watching TV back in early January when she started to notice the faint sound of someone yelling for help outside her family's home in the Cook County village of Harwood Heights. She ran outside and found Susie, her neighbor, wedged underneath a car following a fall. Her face was beneath a tailpipe and she had broken an arm and twisted her legs on top of the ice. Susie says when the paramedics arrived, she was so cold they couldn't give her medication through an IV until she warmed up. Casey didn't leave her side. And Susie says she's her guardian angel. Casey, you're amazing. And a true superhero. You made the Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Now, breaking news from the Talk of Connecticut, WDRC AM 1360, and now 103.3 FM.
Good morning. I'm Teresa Berry. Mostly sunny, warm, less humid. The high near 80.
And I'm Jim O'Reilly. Here's what's happening.
In Hartford, nearly 100 protesters rally at the state capitol to condemn Governor Lamont's executive order extension. They say it's no longer about COVID-19. Instead, they say it's about government control. Many on hand said their freedoms are being taken away right now. Officials say 95% of Connecticut's economy is back up and running. The protesters want Democratic lawmakers to challenge the governor's decision to extend his emergency powers through February 2021. They say the restrictions are costing them their livelihoods.
A Colchester woman with a gambling problem is sentenced to 6 months in prison and 2 years of supervised release for embezzling from her Mystic employer. Prosecutors told the court between July 2017 and July 2018, Vicki Miller took $413,000 from the Greylock Property Group by making withdrawals at ATMs, transferring money to her accounts, and writing checks to herself. That's according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. She was employed as a bookkeeper for Greylock. Miller's supporters told the bench she can't stop gambling, and it has ruined her life.
A new bill drafted by Connecticut legislators could require Eversource to provide compensation for food or medication that's spoiled due to that power outage. The bill would allow residents who are without power for more than 72 hours during Tropical Storm Isaias to receive reimbursement up to $500 for food and $500 for medication. Around 800,000 customers were without power during and after the powerful storm.
I'm Chris Joseph. On Thursday, Governor Ned Lamont announced a new initiative where he says that rapid response testing will soon be available for schools where someone tests positive for COVID-19. The state says they will be partnering with hospitals and mobile units to provide the response, and school districts will be working with their local health departments if they have a positive case. Testing will be deployed depending on the severity of the case. Governor Lamont says this will ensure testing availability in cases there are COVID-19 clusters in schools or daycares. I'm Chris Joseph reporting.
A task force looking to improve policing in Connecticut in response to law enforcement shootings of Black and Hispanic people in the country is looking to get feedback from residents in the state. The panel was created last year as part of the police reform bill. The State Police Transparency and Accountability Task Force will be holding twice a day, two-hour sessions every Thursday next month.
Brought to you by Vector Tax, Connecticut's tax resolution experts.
In Southington, a car versus tractor trailer accident, I-84 eastbound approaching exit 31. The right lane is blocked. Stop and go traffic from exit 30. Waterbury Road construction, Route 8 southbound, I-84 to Washington Avenue. Only one lane is getting by. A bright sunny ride as you go through downtown Hartford. I-84 in both directions delay free. I-91 also delay free. Route 2 and Route 9 moving along as well. I'm Eddie Schaefer, Time Saver Traffic.
Sunny and beautiful out today. The high around 85 degrees for the high temperature. The ServPro of West Hartford temperature at 71 right now in Rocky Hill.
The Talk of Connecticut Morning Show with Gary Byron, AM 1360, 610, 1470, and FM 103.3. The Talk of Connecticut.
I'm
8:22 in front of 9 o'clock. Good morning. It's Gary Byron. Open phones, by the way, at 860-243-1360. And toll-free nationwide, 888-574-2723. You know where I went yesterday? I went to Lenses Only, and a few of you actually joined me there. It was great to meet a few of you that showed up. I know a couple of people just came in and looked around, but there was a person who bought frames and couldn't believe. She said, "I goes, Gary, you're actually 100% right. I can't believe, you know, how these designer frames, how they're able to even sell these at discount price. Really, and they're not ripoffs or they're not like one-offs. These are the you know, actual designer frames. It's incredible. You know what I think helps? The fact that he's got a few locations. And, you know, like buying anything in bulk kind of keeps the price down. But he passes those savings right along to you all. You know, I was there for about, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour yesterday over at the Avon office talking to Steve, who is the owner. Introduced some of our few listeners who showed up, introduced them and gave them the tour. It was great. You know, they offer the highest quality lenses and the most extensive selection of designer frames. I say this every day, folks. It's at the best price of any optical center in Connecticut. And I mean that. And if you love your current glasses, and let's face it, folks, people, they do. Some people like their current frames, but their prescription changes, you know. Well, Lenses Only, they specialize in putting high-quality lenses into your existing frames, but they do it for 50% less than other retailers. And you're saying, come on, I'm telling you, go there and find this out for yourself. I kid you not. And that's not even the greatest part. Although, hey, 50% off than what other retailers are selling. That is great in its own right. But it's all while you wait. You're just going to go there, hand it over to them, give them your new prescription, and hang out for a few. They are changing the way people buy glasses. At Lenses Only, you're going to get high-quality new lenses as well, if you'd like them, in your existing frames for half the cost of other optical centers. Folks, I can't emphasize that enough. If you need new lenses but you can't get to their store or maybe you're a little afraid, hey, you can just bring their store Lenses Only right to your door. They have a direct express program. You got to give them a call, give them an email, give them a shout to find out what that is all about. You can visit Lenses Only, by the way, in Avon, Bloomfield, Torrington, and even Hartford for all your eyewear needs. Plenty of room to social distance. People where they had their masks on yesterday. You can visit them. Visit them in person. You can call them, or you can go to lensesonlyoptical.com. Lenses Only, where lenses are always on sale. It's true, because I asked him. I said, well, you know, when's this sale expire? And he goes, we don't have sales. Well, our sale is every day. And he's right, because that's their regular price, 50% off. So when you go to, and I don't want to mention any other, you know, retailers, but when you go get a price quote from them, and I mean comparing tit for tat, you write down the make, the model of the frame, you know, and then for go with Lenses Only. He's gonna blow you away. I can't believe anybody else. I don't think anybody else could stay in business with this guy being around. It's absolutely incredible. Wall-to-wall frames. All designers are there. All different styles. All right. 8:42. 18 in front of 9 o'clock. It is open phones at 860-243-1360 and 888-574-2723. As we enter the Labor Day weekend here on this beautiful Friday. It'll be a great weekend as well. Friday the 4th of September. Thing is, they say on the other side of Labor Day weekend that summer is unofficially over. I don't know. Do you buy that, Christian?
Well, that's not what the forecast is telling me.
Yeah, because when you look at the forecast beyond the weekend, even Labor Day, when you look at Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it's back up in the mid-80s and the humidity comes back.
Yeah, you're getting close to 90 with Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yes, I saw that. So
summer's over. Okay.
No.
Put a bow on it. We're done.
On the calendar.
Wrap it up.
Summer is over on the 21st of September. So that's what I'm going to choose to go by.
I'm listening to that. The calendar knows. And that and the Farmer's Almanac. I haven't read the Farmer's Almanac in a while, in a hot minute. Not exactly my primary reading material, but here are good things. They've been around for a little bit. Here are good things.
Yeah. The governor's office is reminding people to follow health guidelines as they head to the beaches and parks. Anybody going to the beach this weekend? I'd be kind of curious myself. I may head to the beach this weekend.
Probably today would be your best day.
Maybe. You think out of the entire, even through
warmest,
Monday?
The warmest day is today. 85 today, 80, 82, 82. And then by the shore, I mean, subtract 10 degrees.
Well, yeah, you got to take 10 degrees off when you're down the shore. So, I'm going to go this weekend. I'm not sure what day, but I'm going to definitely make it a point. I got some things to do down there. Let's just put it that way. State officials are especially concerned about potential flare-ups.